Welcome back to this edition of the Yahoo Blog. I'm your host, Craig Wynn. We're going to resume where we left off during our last program on Dode Song. This is our 10th program, 10th episode, presenting the greatest lyrics ever written and the greatest song ever sung. In this case, I can say that without any equivocation because the one who wrote these lyrics is Yahweh, the creator God of the universe. And he wrote this song for his beloved son, Dode, who is more commonly known as David. There is no more essential piece of literature in the universe than the 89th Mizmor. It was first revealed as the cornerstone of the home for Yahweh's name, more commonly known as the temple, was being set on the top of Moriah, called now the Temple Mount. It was completed 7 years later with a dedication speech where Dode's son, Solomon, specifically encouraged and prophetically asked this generation of Israelites to listen to what I would share with them as the Nakri. And so this song, written by Yahweh for our Messiah, the very Son of God, our Savior, the once and future King of Israel, was designed to reveal exactly how the covenant would be enabled, to explain what the covenant's benefits would be and how they would be afforded. It is designed to introduce to us the one that Yahweh loves more than any other, so that we might come to appreciate what it was about Dode, David, that made him so special. What were the attributes and the attitudes and the very approach to God that caused Yahweh to choose this man, to call him his son, to anoint him our Messiah, to allow him and to work with him as he fulfilled Passover as the Lamb, and then perfected God's entire family, his people, by taking our guilt into Sheol and Matzah. Also that he could sign the adoption papers into the covenant family as God enriches and empowers each of us as a result of what they have done in their marvelous collaboration together. This song that explains all of that and introduces us to and affirms this great compassion and love that Yahweh has for Dode, his son, and for Yehudim, the beloved of Yah, his people. And so I'd like to commence again where we left off in our last program, which is I had shared some of the highlights from the 89th Mizmor up to this point, and we will continue from there. I have established cutting through separation, breath covenant for the family and home through Ani Bashar, my chosen one, the person I prefer and have decided upon. I have sworn an oath, and I will affirm this promise 7 times over to Dode, the beloved, Ebed Ani, my authorized agent and co-worker who serves on my behalf. Furthermore, as an ad olam, an eternal witness to the restoring testimony, I will prepare and establish his offspring and that which he sows. In addition, I will construct a home for his throne and for his seat of honor on behalf of all generations throughout time. Therefore, in relation to this, logically, you spoke in a revelation to your Bakarim, chosen and tested one, saying, I have equated and bestowed assistance, supplying what is needed on behalf of the Gabor, the most courageous and capable of men. I have raised up and exalted the very Bashar, the chosen one, from among my people. I discovered him and then made him known, encountered, experienced, and exposed Dod, David, Ibadani, as my co-worker and collaborator. Out of Shemen Kodesh, Ani, my set-apart oil, I have Mashak anointed him, so that to show the way to the benefits of the relationship, my hand and my influence will be established and steadfast, authenticated and unwavering with you, of course, because of him. In addition, and even beyond this, Ani Zeroa, my protective shepherd, my strong arm, my sacrificial lamb, and the one cultivating the seeds for the ultimate harvest, will empower and embolden you, will strengthen you while enabling your growth. Therefore, my steadfast commitment to the truth and my unwavering love, persistent devotion, and enduring favoritism, my ongoing affection and genuine mercy are with him. In my name, his light will radiate and enlighten, and his brilliant horn, symbolic of his status and strength, and his role as the protective ram among the sheep during Teruah, will be lifted up, raised on high, and exalted. He himself will call out to me and welcome me, announcing, you are my father. And also, I will bestow upon him as a gift, appointing and making him Bakor Ani, my firstborn, alone, as Almighty God, the highest and uppermost in comparison to any of the leaders of the earth. Accordingly, my unwavering love and enduring devotion, unmitigated favoritism, affection, and generosity, I will never revoke, disassociate, or remove from him, nor withdraw from being with him. I will never betray him, nor betray who I am by communicating something which is misleading or untrue, nor will I ever contradict or undermine my steadfast commitment to uphold the truth and remain accurate and reliable. I will never dishonor or betray, nor will I create loopholes which alter Bereth Ani, my covenant. Nor will I ever alter, disguise, or change, rearrange, modify, or duplicate that which has gone forth from my lips. Echad, there is only one, to whom I have admitted the truth and affirmed it by having made a promise, thereby validating my commitment to that which will be affirmed seven times by Kodesh Ani, my uniquely steadfast nature, if not to, through, and regarding Dod, I will be proven a liar. This is the bright line drawn by God in the sands of time. It was presented in year 968 BCE, exactly 3,000 years after humankind was escorted out of the Garden of Eden. and exactly 3,000 years before God will make it possible for his family to return to Eden. Yahweh undeniably and unequivocally presented his most impassioned plea to his people with these words. His focus is on his family and on his foremost son. This is the cornerstone of the covenant home, which was laid upon Moriah and which almost everyone. For the 3,000 years after these words were shared, and so passionately by God himself, the world has trampled upon them. Jews ignored him. They didn't even recognize their Messiah and King, their Savior, this very Son of God, when he appeared prior to year 4000, Yah, in 33 CE, to serve as he had promised as the Passover Lamb. They did not recognize or accept or benefit from his sacrifice when his soul carried our guilt into Sheol on Matzah to remove the fungus of religion and politics from our nature so that we could look perfect before God. They did not capitalize upon their collaborative effort to bring us all into the family of God, into the covenant family, so that God might empower and enrich us because of Bukhurim. And rather than acknowledging that Dod had done as he had promised at the exact time that he said he would do these things, rabbis were preoccupied with establishing their Jerusalem Talmud, establishing a religion that would lead generations of Jews astray. And they allowed a rabbi, the first probably ever to publish the use of that term, Shaul, who became known as Paul, the opportunity to deceive billions, to create the most popular religion in human history based upon an absolute and irrefutable counterfeit. There was no Jesus Christ. The character being misrepresented in Christianity is Dod David. And because they piled their lies right on top of the truth, and because the Jews didn't read their own prophecies, this 89th Mizmor and so many more, they were allowed to promote a lie right in the heart of God's home that would lead virtually the entire world astray for generations, for millennia, until this moment when the truth is becoming known and the right is overpowering the wrong. This is why we are here. This is why I am singing the lyrics of Dod's song to you. This is why Yahweh wrote them. It is a great travesty that the founder of Rabbinic Judaism, Rabbi Akiva, foisted another false Messiah on the world to counter the actions of the Christian false Messiah. In their case, Bar Kokhba, which is where you get your star, Israel. And that these two lies piled on top of each other has precluded the world from knowing the truth as it is proclaimed in this Psalm, the 89th, where God said, if it isn't all about Dod, you can call him a liar. Do you think God is lying to us? Do you think he went to all of this trouble to deceive the very people he's trying to awaken and save? But if you practice Rabbinic Judaism, if you practice Christianity, that's what you're doing. You're calling God a liar. These are powerful words. This is a claim so divergent from everything you have been told in your culture to believe. And yet, all of the liars claim that they're speaking for God when they're doing nothing but counterfeiting and corrupting and bastardizing his message. These are the words of God. This is what he wants you to know. And it isn't until you accept him by name, Yahweh, until you embrace what your Messiah and King has done, and capitalize upon what he accomplished on Pesach, Matzah, and Makorim, that you have any hope of leaving this blue pearl of a planet spinning in the dark abyss of space alive. This is the cornerstone of the family home, which was laid on Moriah, and which everyone rejected. Had Yehudim Jews listened, had they embraced and accepted Yahweh's approach to Dod, as it is revealed in this psalm that was revealed 1,000 years before Dod fulfilled it, Yisrael would have remained the brightest light, and what would have a result been a brilliantly enlightened world, not the darkness that we see ensuing us. The assaults of the Assyrians, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Macedonians, the Romans, they never would have occurred. Dod's return to fulfill the first three Moedim would have been celebrated with God's people flocking to the covenant. Paul would have been immediately rebuked and discredited, such that Christianity would never have existed. Christians don't even know that the first 14 letters that were part of their religion are the ones that Paul wrote, and that the so-called Gospels came after his death, all to accommodate the religiosity and the lies that Paul, as a admittedly demon-possessed man, conveyed in his replacement foolology. Paul would never have been allowed to prevail. Akiba and his false Messiah would have gone unheralded, ripping the emergence of Judaism in the bud. There would have been no diaspora. There would have been no oppression in Europe under the Roman Catholic Church. Without rabbis and their Talmud, Muhammad would have had insufficient material to make his Quran anything more than a bastardized pamphlet of Yemenite citations that he twisted to serve his interest. Almost everything in the Quran is a twisted version of what rabbis sold to Muhammad through Talmud readings. It's pathetic and it's obvious. That's why I wrote Goddamn Religion. 5 volumes, 4,200 pages of evidence to prove all of this. It never would have happened if Jews in Jerusalem had simply read Dod's 22nd and 88th Mizmor, Yashaya 53, even Yashaya 9. Had they read the 7th chapter of 2nd Samuel, had they read this, the 89th Psalm, had they put the pieces together, you don't even have to think very hard. It's really obvious. None of this would have happened. None of this would have happened. There would be no Dome of the Rock scarring the Temple Mount, no Al-Aqsa Mosque to inspire terrorist raids. The Holocaust would never have occurred. This is the consequence of ignoring the 89th Psalm. Yes, you have free will. You can be religious. You can be political. You can be comatose. You can do whatever you want to do, but it all comes at a consequence. And by ignoring this message that God delivered in the 89th Mizmor, you brought hell upon the earth. when the earth could have returned already to the conditions experienced in Eden. Of all the things to ignore, these declarations from Yahweh are the costliest and most debilitating in human history. The relationship God intended was replaced by religion, and humankind has suffered needlessly, continuously estranged from Yah as a consequence of ignorance, of defiance. This whole Mizmor, this psalm, the 89th, is in your face. Against the very existence of the Haredi cult of Judaism, against the Christian cult of the replacement and counterfeit, you, the faithful, the religious, have done this to yourselves, necessitating Yahweh's rebuke. He has said and done everything to enlighten you, to prepare you, to prevent you from being religious. It is you who have called God a liar through your Talmud, through your New Testament. It is you who have replaced Yahweh's covenant with one of your own, poking holes in his in the process, denying everything he just revealed to you. This is an open letter to all who want to know Yahweh and be part of his family. In particular, Christians believing that Shaul Paul, over father and son, they have created the most common and thus profane religion in human history by transferring the promises and the accolades and the achievements made and accomplished by Dodd and to Israel, such that they were given to this mythical misnomer and counterfeit, Jesus Christ. What do you think God's reaction is when you steal everything he and his son accomplished and give it to a goddamn myth, to a misnomer, to a crude counterfeit, to someone who never existed, and you hoist up images of a dead God on a stick to worship? Or you parade around under a six-pointed star and you call that star the Star of David when it has nothing to do with him and all to do with the false Messiah that Akiba foisted on you to hide the truth from you? What do you think God's response is going to be to the way that you have mistreated him and his son? Well, I'm telling you, this is your last chance, Israel. This is your last chance, Goyim. If you don't come clean, walk away from religion and politics now and accept Yahweh's provision, come to embrace his powerful name, come to accept what his son did for you, there will be very few tomorrows left for you. Shame on the religious for promoting mythological misnomers. Shame on the religious for believing and promoting contradictions of Yahweh's testimony and then claim that God inspired contradictions to himself. Shame on you for undermining the measure of his mercy and the reliability of his witness. Shame on you. There will be no accommodation for a gospel of grace, for salvation by faith, for a New Testament, for a Jesus Christ being the Messiah, the Son of God, and the King of Kings or Savior. To claim otherwise is to call God dishonest. And while these words from our God serve as the death blow to Christianity, 1,000 years before Paul thrust his demonic devotion upon an unsuspecting world, his New Testament was not the gravest of all crimes. How did 150 generations of Jewish sages and scholars, of Jewish rabbis over the course of 3,000 years, all manage to deny the obvious? They can read. They know it. And yet they lie to you for their own self-aggrandizement, for their own pocketbooks, for their own acclaim. Why did they collectively and individually deprive Jews of knowing Yahweh through his son, Dovid David? Why did they prevent the salvation of several hundred million Jewish souls? Why isn't there a single credible Jewish sage, scholar, or rabbi on record ever affirming and promoting the impassioned message of Father and Son as it is proclaimed here in this Mizmor Psalm? Why did God have to reach out to a goy to wake you from your stupor and share the truth? The answer is because there wasn't one of you listening to Yahweh, willing to go where his words lead. Everything, literally everything, including the very survival of Yisrael, of humankind, the salvation of our souls, the continuation of this planet, is predicated on the words Yahweh spoke to us about his son 3,000 years ago in the 89th Mizmor. And this bold declaration does not stand alone. Instead, it is reinforced by the entirety of the Torah and prophets. It is the same wonderfully consistent and enormously loving message throughout. This is just the grand crescendo of the chorus. This is Yahweh's heart being opened up for you. The reason this is so is because Father and Son fulfilled the first three mikra together, and they will fulfill the last two together. This is the cornerstone of the family home. We find and embrace the Father through the Son. They are inseparable, and they are becoming indistinguishable as Elyon manifests. Dovid has become like God. Why? Because he is the firstborn son of God. There is one God with a single Torah teaching. He has one covenant, albeit seven Moed Mikre, to bring us home. There is one Messiah, one Son of God, and a single Passover Lamb. He is our Savior. His name is Dovid. This will never change. It will never be altered in any way. Nothing Yahweh revealed has been annulled, especially his love for his firstborn son, Dovid. And sadly, Jews couldn't even get his name right. It's not David. There is no V in the Hebrew alphabet, at least the alphabet that was used at this time. And of all of those who knew him best, they wrote his name simply as Deleth, Wa, Deleth, with the O being from the Wa and a vowel that is pronounced with the open mouth sound of O, just as the Wa is pronounced in Yahweh's name, just as it is pronounced in Torah, just as it is pronounced in Shalom. And those two D's that flank this Wa, which in Hebrew means in addition, adding to that which already exists. are two doors. The two Deleths in Dode's name are doorways. And the word, his name, reads the same right to left as it does left to right. Continuing now with the 89th Mizmor, God said, his offspring and that which he sows, Zerahu, his descendants, his posterity, his family and his seed, that which he promulgates by having planted, leading to the ultimate harvest, will exist and endure forever, ad olam. And his place of honor, his dignity and authority, as well as his adornment, kesehu, his throne, will be as brilliant as the sun before me. Dode, and his seat of honor before Yahweh, will be as brilliant as the sun in God's presence. It is Father and Son, and they will be together forevermore. And the best we can achieve in this life is to choose to be with them, to sit next to them, to bask in their light. And his place of honor, his dignity and authority, as well as his adornment, will be as brilliant as the sun before me. Similar to the moon, he is established forevermore, while serving as an enduring and reliable, truthful and dependable witness in the universe. Pause now and contemplate what you have just heard. Mizmor, lyrics to be sung, 8937. It wasn't until quite recently that I came to understand that Yahweh first spoke of this relationship between the sun and the moon and the creation account itself. You'll read it in the fourth day of creation. I shared it with all who would listen in my series called In the Beginning. I think I left off at the third episode of that program, which begins with the creation account and then moves us through the garden. In fact, I think actually I completed the In the Beginning presentation and have moved on to through the third episode of In the Garden. And they're part of the archives of these programs on the YouTube channels, on the Facebook pages, soon to be also integrated into everything we're conveying on X and also on Rumble. And what we learn when we contemplate what Yahweh had to say about his preference for the greater and lesser luminaries, the two men who will explain and fulfill the Moed, the restoring witnesses to the eternal testimony, particularly Pesach Matzah B'Kodem, Shavua Teruah, Kippurim, and Sukkah. Two men, two luminaries, one greater than the other. I don't think I should have to tell you at this point who the greater luminary is. Yahweh just said that Dode's presence next to him will be as brilliant as the sun. He is the greater luminary. He fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and B'Kodem. He will fulfill Kippurim and Sukkah. But there is another, a lesser luminary. In this case, he was identified by the moon, because the moon is much smaller than the sun, and the moon reflects the sun's light. My job is to reflect the great brilliance of Dode. Dode's job was to reflect the great brilliance of Yahweh. And the reason that I have to, at this time, serve as the lesser luminary, conveying, reflecting Dode's brilliance to you, is that His people forgot about him. His people have dimmed it way down so that though to someone they don't even respect, they very seldom even speak of him. They are awaiting an unnamed Messiah. They claim that God can't have a son. They have anointed themselves kings. They rebuke and challenge everything Yahweh has to say. I just did a presentation of Numbers 12 because it is prophetic of our current situation. And in that, it's obvious that Yahweh directs all of his angst against Miriam, which means contentious and embittered, which describes the children of Israel. And he told Miriam to shut up. He sent her away out of the encampment. He told us that she was poison, that she was diseased, that she was plagued because she claimed, why can't we also speak for God? Surely we also speak for God. It's not just Moshe, who was the first of the three Zoroah. It's not just Dode, she would have said later on, who was the second of the third Zoroah. It isn't just Yada, who is now the third of the three Zoroahs. We can all speak for him. When the rabbis review that statement, they say that Yahweh was wrong in the way that he responded to Miriam. They even make it about Moshe's wife. When Yahweh reviews what they did, which was so wrong, claiming that anyone who wants to speak for God can. When God says, no, I chose Moshe. No, I chose Dode. No, I chose Yada. And others will say, no, but we too can speak for him. And they missed that. They're still back there thinking that Yahweh's response to her, making this beehive of a person stinging hornet, Miriam, this usurper of credibility, which she did not deserve, punished for her complaint against Moshe's wife. God didn't even mention that. It just was the impetus, the spark, so that they could undermine Aaron and Miriam, Moshe's credibility, so that they could usurp his authority for themselves. And the rabbis condemn God for overreacting. Why? Because they want to claim that they speak for God. They're guilty of the same crime. And it's really interesting when you read that story that Aaron said, oh boy, we were really stupid in saying this. I mean, that was the dumbest idea of all dumb ideas in the history of stupid things to say. I'm really sorry. I'm really, really sorry. Please forgive me. Let me cleanse me of this. And because he came clean and admitted that what he had done was tragically wrong, when the two approached Moshe and said, surely we can all speak for God, not just his Zoroah, Moshe, being the first of them. God sent her away, told her to shut up, and didn't deal with Aaron, who probably for the first time in his life came clean. But the rabbis, by twisting that, by attacking God, saying that God's corruption, I mean, God's punishment and condemnation of this woman was completely unjustified, and then calling her the mother of Israel, this one who would claim that she could speak for God. It serves as a mind, as the mindset of what's happened to God's people as to why they don't understand what Yahweh says. They don't like what Yahweh says. If you're Jewish and you're listening to rabbis, understand that their goal is to corrupt the word of Yahweh with the arguments of rabbis. And God's response to them is to shut up and go away, calling them plagued and diseased, leprous, So you need to understand just how serious God is about this when he picks someone to serve as his witness. And in the case of creation, it is the lesser luminary, the moon in this reference, whose job it is now to reflect the sun's light, with the sun being his son, Dodo David. That was the prediction and prophecy long ago. This is the fulfillment of it. So let me share that passage again with you now that you know specifically what God is talking about. And as we enter it, recognize that Zerah is the actionable root of Zeruah, of the three Zeruah, Moshe, Dod, Yada. It is the strong arm of God. It is the one who shepherds the flock. It is the sacrificial lamb of Pesach, and it is the one who cultivates the harvest so that they are productive. His offspring and that which he sows will exist and endure forever. And his place of honor, his dignity and authority will be as brilliant as the sun before me. Similar to the moon, he is established forevermore while serving as an enduring and reliable, trustworthy, truthful, and dependable witness in the universe. You see, if it were not for the lesser luminary, standing up now, looking you in the eye, speaking directly to you in these live streams, making myself vulnerable for your sake, coming into your homes and revealing to you what Dod represents, who Yahweh is, what he achieved with his son. If you did not know that Yahweh and Dod collaborated to fulfill Pesach, opening the doorway to life, to enable your perfection so that you can enter Yahweh's presence by taking your guilt on matzah and depositing it in Sheol, never to be seen again, so that you could be born into the covenant family following the firstborn of God, Dod, enabling our Father to enrich us and to empower us, you could not capitalize on the upcoming harvest of Shavuah, which is for Goyim and for Israelites, that will take place at the beginning of the time of Jacob's troubles, on the Shabbat, when Yahweh does his best work, May 22nd, 2026, such that 7 years later, the next harvest, the final harvest of Yehudim and Yisraelites will occur on Teruah, a September 23rd in year 6000 Yah, which is 2033, followed by my sacrifice as the Adam of Parah, on behalf of the final mortal remnant of Yisrael, so that you are prepared, you are cleansed to be in Yahweh's and your Messiah's presence as they return on Yom Kippurim, 6:22 p.m., as the sun sets in Jerusalem on October 2nd, 2033, year 6000 Yah. 5 days thereafter, on the Shabbat of October 7th, we will all be escorted back into the garden, which will comprise the entire earth, coming full circle in God's story. This is the purpose of the lesser luminary, as he reflects the brilliance of the greater luminary, Dod, whose life is the ultimate reflection of the great brilliance of our God, Yahweh. Collectively, we provide the Ed, the restoring witness to the eternal testimony. Pause now and contemplate what you have just heard. Psalm 89:37. What Dod has done and Yahweh has articulated regarding him, what God's Son has written in the Mizmor Psalms and what the prophets have proclaimed regarding his achievements, his accolades, his relationship with Yahweh, is all going to take root and grow, yielding an eternal harvest. He will endure forevermore, as will the offspring, the children of the covenant. The Son's dignity and his authority, as well as the symbols of his majesty, will be as brilliant as the sun in his Father's presence, adorned in the vestiges of his calling. Dod will become Yahweh's most conspicuous counterpart. He already is. The moon, while 400 times smaller than the sun, is 400 times closer to the earth, and the moon, comprised of the essence of the earth, is illuminated as a result of reflecting the sun's light. These serve as metaphors that portray the proper perspective to view the firstborn by describing him as the second most important luminary compared to, well, my job as Yada, compared to Dod's role as our savior and king, is the story that Yahweh is conveying. These men collectively not only fulfill, as Yahweh said in the creation account, the markers of time telling you when these things will happen and have occurred now, but they also fulfill them. Because just as I told you what Dod will fulfill, it is my responsibility to fulfill and enable the Shavuah harvest, as well as the Teruah ingathering, and then to serve as the Adama Parah, as the sun rises on the Shabbat of Teruah, 10 days before Yah's return. Also, as the fullness of the moon's light, it was in the fullness of the moon's light that Dod fulfilled Pesach and Matzah. And it will be towards a night sky devoid of the moon's light that I will coordinate the final harvest from the darkness of the earth to the illumination of heaven on Teruah. And it is even interesting that on the second portion of Teruah, as the sun rises on the Shabbat of September 24th, 2033, the sun will be eclipsed, a full solar eclipse that day, as Yahweh ignites an eternal flame, releasing cleansing and living waters from the reservoirs beneath the Temple Mount, cascading over, mixed with the ash of the sacrifice of the Adama Parah, with the flames dancing to the heavens, and Yahweh's booming voice returning to God's people for the first time in 3,480 years, with Elijah being the master of ceremonies, explaining this great event just as he did 2 millennia, 888 years prior. Be the greatest spectacle the earth has ever witnessed. I want you to be there. Whether you're part of the host from the heavens who have been previously harvested and are watching from the clouds, or you among that final remnant who is still mortal, but now prepared for Yahweh's return just 10 days away. Capitalize on all that is being offered to you here. Be prepared to camp out with our king, come Sukkah. Dod is not only Yahweh's most enduring and reliable witness, but he is also most readily verified as through the source of Yahweh's testimony and his own. It is a role that he carried out so well over the years, and it will, in terms of the benefits of it, continue forevermore. As we shakak, laugh and play throughout space and time, our steps will be guided by Dod's reflection of Yahweh's almighty light. Christians can take their Madonna and child, her baby Jesus, and their dead God on a stick, and their second coming in Stickum, where the sun don't shine, because they do not belong in Yahweh's world. And for the Haredi and their horrifyingly morbid mourning clothes, they are at least perfectly suited to continue worshiping dead rabbis while giving lip service to Hashem. They do not know the Torah. They have replaced it all while awaiting the arrival of their unknown Messiah. As for the enlightened and informed, the rational and the reasonable, here is the second and third of Dode's song, one which will be sung soon by our king himself, the man to whom this was written, and to the covenant family in his presence as we watch his father, Yahweh, enjoy the melodious voice of his beloved. It reads, as such, I will place my hand into the sea and my right side adjacent to the flowing waters. This is Yahweh telling us what he is going to do as the man from Edom, the Adam HaParah, is prepared for the ultimate sacrifice on Yahweh's and his people's behalf. The adversary will not outwit or nullify him, never negating the value or annulling his purpose. And the son of evil will not deny him or denigrate him, because he will have no answer for him. And so I will pulverize and crush, vanquish and incarcerate his foes. That's all going to occur right at the same time. We are less than 9 years away from this galactic event, the return of Yahweh to our planet, when all of this is going to transpire. And so I will pulverize and crush, vanquish and incarcerate his foes, especially those who seek to constrain and restrict him. Then out of his presence, I will plague those who shun him by attempting to decrease his status. You should be shaking in your boots if you believe rabbinic Judaism or Christianity or even Islam that attempted to do these very things. Therefore, my steadfast commitment to the truth and my unwavering love, determined devotion, and enduring favoritism, my ongoing affection, are with him. In my name, his light will radiate and enlighten, and his brilliant horn, symbolic of his status and strength, will be lifted up and raised on high. He himself will call out to me and welcome me, announcing, "You are my father, and I also will bestow him as a gift, appointing and making him Bakor Ani, my firstborn son, as Elon, as Almighty God, the highest and uppermost in comparison to all others on earth. For all eternity, I will keep watch over him, paying very close attention to him, focusing on him, my unwavering love, unrelenting devotion, enduring affection, and genuine favoritism, in addition to my family-oriented covenant, are truthfully presented and reliably established, verifiable and enduring through him. And I will establish his seed, Zarah, which he sows, especially his offspring, as he prepares the harvest, as an eternal witness forever. And his throne and dignity will be equated to the days of Shamayim of heaven. However, if his children continue to forsake, ignore, neglect, or reject my Torah teaching and guidance, and if they continue to make a habit of failing to walk according to my means, to justly resolve disputes and exercise good judgment, if they perpetually view my clearly communicated prescriptions for living with contempt, and further, if they consistently fail to observe the instructive terms of the relationship, then I will hold them accountable with the full measure of their rebellion and their political and religious revolt. The consequence of their deviation from the way and their wrongdoing will be a pestilence which causes widespread death. Accordingly, my unwavering love, enduring devotion, unmitigated favoritism, affection, and generosity, I will never, never revoke, disassociate, or remove from him, nor withdraw from being with him. I will never betray who I am by communicating something which is misleading or untrue. Nor will I ever contradict or undermine my steadfast commitment to uphold the truth and remain accurate and reliable. I will never dishonor or betray, nor will I create loopholes which alter my bereft covenant. Nor will I ever amend, disguise, change, rearrange, modify, or duplicate that which has gone forth from my lips. There can be no new covenant, no new testament. There can be no Talmud. Echad, there is only one to whom I have declared the truth by having made a promise, thereby validating my commitment, which will be affirmed seven times by Kodesh Ani, my uniquely set apart nature. If not to, through, and regarding Dod David, the beloved, I am delusional and will be proven a liar. His offspring, and that which he sows, will exist and endure forever, and his place of honor, his dignity and authority, as well as his adornment, will be as brilliant as the sun before me, as my conspicuous counterpart. Similar to the moon, he is established, appointed, set in place, and trusted forevermore throughout time, while serving as an enduring and reliable, truthful and dependable witness and source of restoring testimony throughout the universe of space and time, all for enjoyment, laughter, and play. Pause now and contemplate what you have just heard. I am Yada, the moon reflecting the sun's light. I speak for Yahweh. This has been the Yahweh blog, and I am Craig Wynn.